A study released this month outlines a number of scurvy cases that have been reported at a Sydney hospital over the last year. The study points to a poorly formulated diet as the main origin of the disease. But with no data being collected of the illness, it's not sure whether these are isolated cases or if this is a much larger public health issue. Taylor Fuller with this report.
When I think about scurvy, I think about pirates and sailors from a bygone era. But according to a new research paper published in the International Journal of Diabetic Medicine, it may be more prevalent in our everyday society than we think. Sydney University's Professor Jenny Gunton, and the author of the report, first discovered the cases of scurvy at Westmead Hospital after one of her patients presented with wounds that wouldn't heal.
Yeah, so I had this lovely patient I met 5 years ago, and when I met her, she'd had an ulcer on her leg for 7 months without it healing. And the nerves in her feet were normal, and the blood vessel, the blood supply was normal, and it wasn't infected, and she was taking care of it and doing all the right stuff. So when you have a picture like that where it just doesn't make sense, you go looking for the odd stuff. And zinc and vitamin C are both needed for wound healing, so we measured them. And her vitamin C was a quarter of normal.
How do you get scurvy in the first place?
So scurvy is vitamin C deficiency with symptoms or signs. So basically, you're not eating enough vitamin C in your diet. So vitamin C in the diet comes from fresh fruit and fresh veggies. And if you cook the vegetables too much, it destroys the vitamin C.
Can you explain the importance of vitamin C in our diets? What role does it play?
Well, you absolutely need vitamin C to form collagen, which is one of those major structural proteins in your skin. So you need it to heal any wound, whether it's a cut or a graze, anything. And if you don't have enough vitamin C, then wound healing is impaired. You also get easy bruising, and you can even get like a rash of bruises all over. If it gets more severe, your teeth can become loose and even fall out. You can have increased risk of breaking bones, and your muscles get sore and weak. Back in the 1800s, the sailors used to die because they were on six-month voyages with no vitamin C.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot.
Scurvy did actually kill a lot of sailors and pirates on long-haul voyages, where the crew wouldn't see land for months on end. It was a big problem, and at the time, people had no idea what caused the illness. Christopher Maxworthy, maritime historian, explains.
Some of the early treatments for scurvy, which we don't believe had any real impact, but were sort of in folklore, were things like you'd go to a beach and you dig a hole and you bury the mariner up to his neck in wet sand, and you'd leave him there for a day or two, and for some that seemed to have a recuperating effect. But really it was the absence of vitamin C that was critical to the development of scurvy. And the other thing that was found is that once you started to treat people with fresh vegetables, you know, like scurvy-affected sailors, then they recovered very quickly. It was a very rapid progression from being ascorbutic to being effectively cured.
According to Professor Jenny Gunton, the treatments being used today are essentially the same, only with the addition of vitamin C tablets. But if it's that simple, why was it happening in the first place? Professor Gunton's first patient held the key to understanding what was causing the illness.
And I talked to her more about her diet, and she doesn't eat fruit because it gives her reflux and it also puts her sugars up because she has diabetes, so she's worried about that. She does eat veggies. She eats a couple of serves most days, but she used to cook it a lot, and that was enough to destroy the vitamin C.
How many patients did you identify with scurvy?
Yeah, in the report that's come out, we had six people with a non-healing foot ulcer and vitamin C deficiency, but I would say I've probably seen another six or seven since then.
So I'm assuming that you had identified these patients through the same symptoms as the first.
So basically anyone who has a foot ulcer that hasn't healed in the normal couple of weeks or has reports gum bleeding, I'll ask them about their diet. And then if the diet doesn't sound too great, we'll measure the vitamin C. So far about two-thirds of the people I've measured have come back with a low level, and that suggests that probably there are quite a number more out there that we haven't found yet.
Do you think that this could be an underlying problem for a lot of people, but since we don't keep statistics on the cases, it goes kind of unnoticed?
Yes, I worry about that because when I look at the people who we've found with vitamin C deficiency, they're a whole range of age, they're a whole range of body size, they're type 1, type 2 diabetes, they're a range of socioeconomic levels, so all sorts of people. And it just makes me wonder if it's much more widespread.
Sydney University professor Jenny Gunton, finishing that report by Taylor Fuller. If you exhibit any of the symptoms outlined in this report, please visit your doctor. And don't forget to eat your vegetables.